It was a gray January day in 2001, and I was at the Towson Diner with my mom and my brother. And we were in a hard season. We had recently lost my father, had passed away of a heart attack. And so it was that season, right? So we sit down for breakfast, and my brother looks at me and he says, So, we kind of have something to tell you. I'm like, okay, which is never what you want to hear, right? You never want to hear that. Something to tell you. So I'm like, okay. And he's like, so as it turns out, we have a brother. Right. Right. So immediately I look at my mom, like, out with it. Like, you have some explaining to do. And she's like, not my story. So I'm like, okay, continue. So he was like, yeah, so a couple years back, I was rooting around in dad's things, and I wasn't really supposed to be. And I was looking for my own birth certificate when I happened upon a divorce decree that was dad's to his ex-wife's. And in it, he gives up his parental right to the mother of the child. So immediately I'm like, wait a minute, so dad was married too? And he was like, yeah. And I'm like, and you've known this for years. So what are we now, the family who keeps secrets? Like, what is this? So I look to my mom. I'm like, did you know about this? And she's like, of course I knew about this. And I'm like, okay, so out with it, like from the beginning. She was like, it was a different time. It was 1967. You have to understand, things were different then. And, it was your father's college girlfriend. They got pregnant, and they thought that the next best thing to do was to get married. So they scheduled the wedding. And the day of the wedding, your father was standing at the altar, and she never showed. And I was like, ooh, this is getting worse and worse. So eventually, they got married by the justice of the peace. They tried to make it work, but it didn't work. And the mother of the child, said to your father, listen, I'm reconciling with, I don't know if it was an ex-boyfriend or a current boyfriend or another anybody. There was somebody else. And I want him to raise the child. And so after a lot of heartache and hemming and hauling and back and forth, this, that, and the other, he did what he felt like he should do in that moment, right? And she's like, you have to remember, this is 1967. It's not today. So it's 2001 when we're hearing this story. This is before Facebook. This is before the internet, what the internet is today. This is before pulling out your smartphone and finding anybody anywhere, right? So we did like a basic search on the internet to find him because we knew what his name was. But all that really came up from it was a white pages listing that he lived. We thought maybe it was him, wasn't sure, over the PA line, right? And so the whole thing goes cold. So fast forward to 2008, about. My mom had started dating again, and she was out on a date with her boyfriend at the time, and who would eventually become her husband. And so she's out on a date, and they're talking about their previous unions, and she's sharing this wild story about her late husband's first marriage and how he lost a child in the marriage, da 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 da. And he's listening, and he's nodding, and he's listening. And he said, I've heard this story before. And my mom, of course, hasn't told him the story. So she says, what do you mean? He said, what was the name of the ex-wife? And so for the sake of this story, we're going to give her a different name. We're going to call her Brenda. Brenda C. So she said, her name is Brenda C. Why? And he said, yep. Yep, I've heard this story from Brenda. I'm her boss. Hand to God. And she's like, I'm sorry, what? You know, like, what? Well, this is amazing. Like, you know, my kids want to meet their brother. You can make this happen. And he's like, no, because they worked in a hospital system. And so it was privacy, privacy, privacy. And he's like, unfortunately, there is absolutely nothing I can say or do. So it runs cold again. And it's wild, right? So fast forward about a year and a half or so later, and my mom and that guy she was dating are now engaged. And it was 2010, and I had just moved back to Baltimore, and I was living with my mom at the time. And she gets a phone call. She picks up the phone, and it's her fiance, and he said, Joanne, Brenda C. is sitting at the bar at Bill Bateman's in Towson right now. And she no longer works with me, or she's retired, and they were at a retirement party, and it was off campus. So he said, it's now or never. If you want to meet her, get down here. So, of course, my mom runs into the room where I'm sitting, and she's like, Brenda C. is at the Bill Bateman's in Towson. And I'm like, oh my God, what are you going to do? And she's like, I don't know. And I'm like, well, you should go. And she's like, I'm going to go. And I'm like, okay. And so she leaves the room, and then she comes back, and she's got an armful of photos, like photo albums. And then she's got the photos from the funeral, you know, that you glue on the poster board. And I'm like, what are you doing with that? And she's like, I'm going to go. I'm going to take it. I'm like, oh, this might not go well, you know, like, and I'm like, okay, good luck. And so she goes. She goes to the Bill Bateman's in Towson, and she marches in there with her photos, and she finds her, poor woman, taps her on the shoulder, and like this lovely, unsuspecting person, you know, turns around and is like, hello, and my mom's like, hello, and she's like, hi, you know, and then my mom's like, hi. Hi, I'm Joanne Kelly. And then Brenda, of course, replies, oh, nice to meet you. You know, Kelly, actually, that's a good last name. I used to have it. And my mom said, I know. And his birthday's tomorrow. To which the recognition hits poor Brenda. And she said, oh, my God, you're Tony's wife. She said, yes, I am. And Brenda says to my mom, I never made it right. And my mom said, well, it's not too late because my kids want to meet their brother. So about 2 months after that, it was another January day. And we are, I kid you not, back at the Towson Diner. And he's there before we are. And he's standing at the top of the stairs. So we pull up and we go to walk in. And it is like seeing a ghost. He looks just like my dad, especially as a young man. So we're all crying, right? I'm crying, my mom's crying, my brother's crying, his wife crying, we're all crying. He probably felt like a zoo animal at the time, right? Because we're just staring at him crying. And it hits me, right? So my father never had the chance to meet him. He never had that chance. He never had the opportunity. Call it small Baltimore, call it mystical divine intervention, call it what you want to call it. But he is all the best parts of my dad, and now we get to have him. Thanks, Weston.